So we're reading from Madhya Lila chapter 10, text number 117 to 119, the purports in 119. So I'm just going to read this, the Bengali and then the English. Sri Sarup Damodar was very dear to Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, and he was the life and soul of all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. When Sarup Damodar came to Jagannath Puri, he fell flat before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering him obeisances and reciting a verse. So this verse that we're going to recite, it's also in the Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Natika. That's where it's from. And that was compiled by Kavi Karnapur. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by awakening everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendental bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. This is a long purport, but I intend to read it. The important verse, Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Natika 8.10. So when I looked it up, it wasn't 8.10, it was 8.44, is that correct? You're nodding at me, so I thought you knew. So I need someone to verify it with me. Specifically describes the Lord's causeless mercy, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is his 150th anniversary, by the way. 150th anniversary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most magnanimous personality of Godhead, distributes his causeless mercy in three ways to the conditioned soul. Every living entity is morose in this material world. Just highlight the word morose, right? Because I'm going to speak about it. Morose in the material world because he's always in want. He undergoes a great struggle. Highlight the word struggle because I'm going to talk about that. For existence and tries to minimize his miserable condition by squeezing, that's another word I want to talk about, the utmost pleasure of this out of this world. But a living entity is never successful. That's another one. Just highlight these words. In this endeavor, he's never successful in this endeavor. While in a miserable condition, a person sometimes seeks the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but this is very difficult for materialistic people to obtain. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of the Lord, the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord expands. You know, I always used to think, what does lotus feet mean? But it means doing what Krishna wants you to do. That's what it means to serve the lotus feet. Is doing what Krishna wants you to do, following the instructions. And in this way, a materialist may gain freedom from his miseries, or her miseries. Actually, his mind is cleansed by his transcendental connection with the lotus feet of the Lord. At such a time, one is enlightened by the loving service of the Lord. There are many different kinds of scriptures, and by reading them, one often becomes puzzled. That's true. So many different scriptures, different ways of presenting things. And one can become confused.com. But when one receives the mercy of the Lord, his confusion is mitigated. That mercy is by meeting a pure devotee. That's how you get that mercy. Not only are scriptural disparities resolved, but a kind of transcendental bliss is awakened. And in this way, one is fully satisfied. The transcendental loving service of the Lord constantly engages the conditioned soul in serving the Lord's lotus feet. Lord's lotus feet means serving the instructions. Through such fortunate engagement, one's transcendental love for Krishna is increased. One's position is thus completely purified, and one is filled with transcendental bliss accompanied by the spirit soul's jubilation. Thus, the transcendental causes mercy of Lord Krishna is manifested in the heart of the devotee, and at such a time, material needs no longer exist. The lamentation that invariably accompanies material desire also vanishes. By the grace of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position, and then the transcendental mellows of the spiritual world are manifested in him. One's devotional service then becomes firm, and one engages in the Lord's transcendental loving service with great determination. All these combine to fully awaken the devotee's heart with love of Krishna. In the beginning, a conditioned soul is bereft of Krishna consciousness and is always morose in his material activities. Later, by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes inquisitive to know the absolute truth. In this way, one begins to engage in the transcendental service of the Lord. Next, by the Lord's grace, all misconceptions are vanquished and the heart is cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. By the Lord's mercy, one is completely convinced of the value of devotional service. You're completely convinced. Nobody has to convince you. You're already convinced. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. When one can see the pastimes of the Lord everywhere, he is firmly situated in transcendental bliss. Such a devotee is relieved of all kinds of material desires, and he preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world. I think Prabhupada is writing about himself. Preaches the glories all over the world. These Krishna conscious activities separate him from material activities and the desire for liberation, because at every step the devotee feels himself connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although such a devotee may sometimes be involved in household life, Prabhupada was involved in household life, he is untouched by material existence due to his constant engagement in devotional service. Prabhupada used to read 4 hours of Bhagavatam a day in the Grihastha ashram and do deity worship and preach. Thus, everyone is advised to take shelter of devotional service to become happy and liberated. Om Agyanti Milandasya. Gyanjana Shalakaya Chakshon Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shubhashadi Gaur Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Helo Dunita Kedaya Vishadaya. Pran Milad Amo Daya. Shamyak Chastra Vivadaya Rasadaya. Chitarpiton Madaya. Shashwat Bhakti Vinodaya Samadaya. Madhurya Marya Daya. Shri Chaitanya Daya Nidita Vadaya. Buryad Amanda. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is Damodar Goswami speaking. Let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendental bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your mercy, auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. Did I miss that bit when I was reading first time? This last bit. I think I did. All right, so we're in chapter 10. And in chapter 10, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes back to Jagannath Puri after his tour of South India. And he comes back with a person called Kal Krishna Das. Now, Kal Krishna Das, he was associating with the Lord. He was the personal servant. And he was seduced by the Bhattaharis, by these women. And he went into their camp and he was lost, basically. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went in there and saved him, basically, and took him back. And when he took him back, he rejected him. He said, I don't want to see him again. Get him out of here. So Lord Nityananda and all the Vaishnavas pleaded with the Lord, please give him another service. And so he was sent to Mayapur Navadweep to serve there and explain the pastimes in South India. But Chota Haridas, who was another associate of Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't given that mercy. You know, he was begging for rice and he begged from a certain person. And Lord Chaitanya was eating that rice and he knew something was wrong and he asked, where did you get this rice from? He asked the person who cooked it and the person said it was Chota Haridas who gave it to me. So then he rejected Chota Haridas and everyone was flabbergasted. They didn't understand why did Lord Chaitanya reject Lord Chota Haridas. And Chota Haridas was a renunciate and he rejected him. And there's deep meanings why. But my Guru Maharaj explains, why did he give mercy to Lord to Kal Krishna Das? Why did he go in the camp and save him? And why he didn't give any mercy to Chota Hari Das? He just gave him chastisement. The reason being is Chota Hari Das was directly under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under his protection. So Lord Chaitanya is very strict when you're under his protection. But Lord Nityananda, he was looking up after Kal Krishna Das. He was the one who gave Kal Krishna Das to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you're under Lord Nityananda, you're okay. Because he's more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. We say Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent incarnation of the Lord. But Lord Nityananda is even more merciful. And then the spiritual master represents Lord Nityananda. So Prabhupada is even more merciful. And his followers. Anyone who represents the Guru Parampara represents Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda is the most merciful. So that's a lesson to learn. Lord Chaitanya saved Kal Krishna Das because he was an associate of Lord Nityananda, whereas Chota Hari Das, he had to set an example for him because he was directly under Lord Chaitanya. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the purport mentions three ways of getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy, but it's not written what the three ways are if you read the purport. Prabhupada just mentions that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says it, but he doesn't elaborate on it. So I was thinking, what are the three ways? So I was speaking to His Grace Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu. Many years ago he told me this story, and then I asked him again to clarify. There was a point where they were giving Krishna consciousness at universities in London, and it was called the Spiritual Arts Society at London School of Economics, LSE. Spiritual Arts Society, and Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu was involved in that. But the devotees wanted to rename all the societies the KCSOC, the Krishna Conscious Society, right? Wanted to rename it. So there was a bit of discussion, arguments, you know, if we change it to KCSOC, we may not get enough people coming, they may get put off. If we keep it Spiritual Arts, we have a huge generic audience. So he went to Tamal Krishna Goswami, who's like the intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada, his final secretary, by the way. Just like Damodar Goswami is the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tamal Krishna Goswami was like that for Prabhupada, especially the last year. He was the intimate associate and secretary. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu was asking the question, and explaining the whole situation. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, whatever works, it doesn't matter. You know, whatever name works, it doesn't really matter. But he said, if Prabhupada was here, and when he said that, Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu felt that Prabhupada is here now. You know, he has such a connection, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that he knows the mind of Prabhupada. If Prabhupada was here, he would say the three things. He would say, is the prasadam being given out? Are the books being given out? And if the holy name is given out, then it's a success. So those are the three things that you need to have in a program. Books are given out, prasadam, and the holy name. Then a program is successful. That's what Prabhupada would want. And then my Guru Maharaj, by His Holiness Bhakti Charles Swami, told me what Prabhupada told him. If you wish to be a leader in ISKCON, you need to know how to do three things. That's it. If you wish to be a leader, that means guide other people. You need to know how to do kirtan. You need to know how to give a class. And you need to know how to cook. It's simple, isn't it? Because that's all we do. We hear Bhagavatam, CC, Bhagavad Gita. We talk, discuss philosophy. We do kirtan, which was amazing today. Where is he? Abhay, where is he gone? Is he here? No? I was sitting there and I was thinking, who's singing that? And then I said, okay, can you sing? I never really sing before a class, but he sang that song. But he was amazing. It was such an amazing angelic voice. And that person has been going Mangalati since birth. Yeah, so you could see where the power is coming from. I remember when he was a baby coming here. So he's been coming since birth every day, Mangalati, even during school time. Even, you know, when he's at school, you would still come here and then go to Avanti. So be able to cook. Be able to cook. One must know how to cook. I don't really know how to cook so much. I can only cook quick things, snacky things. But Prabhupada knows how to cook. Prabhupada learned how to cook from watching his mother and an auntie and street vendors. Just by watching them, then he knew how to cook. And so those three things, you can be a leader in ISKCON. Man or woman, doesn't matter who you are. If you know those three things, you can teach it, you can guide, you can do any program. You can talk, you can do the kirtan, and you can give out the prasadam, which is what a program needs to be successful. And it doesn't matter what you call it. Doesn't matter how you brand it. As long as you're doing those three things, you're giving Krishna. You're giving them mercy. So I think that's the three things that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave you. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Would you say is the three major things? Holy name, prasadam. Because if you look at CC, they're all having feasts. Yeah, prasadam, holy name, and then the Bhagavad Katha, you know. So I wanted to speak about those things. Morose, remember I said morose? Struggle, squeezing, never successful. And then I've got a whole load of other things to go. We're going to finish at 9. I don't take questions generally. But today, today I got instructed by my senior god brother, Srinivas Prabhu, to take some questions. And if I can't answer it, Govinda Prabhu and a few other seniors are here to answer it. And I want to also speak about Shruti Dharma Prabhu, because he passed away exactly 4 years ago to this day. And there's a lot to say about him and his life. So I have a few words to say because I never had a chance to speak. Morose. Srila Prabhupada talks about people are morose. And you may not be morose. And so you may be oblivious to what it means to be morose. But if you work in the material world or live out there, you know what morose is. Or you watch the news every day and you see what's happening in Gaza, you know what morose means. Everyone is sad. And I looked up a statistic that a quarter of the population of the United Kingdom, adults, so if there's 45 million adults, or 50 million, whatever, at least 15 million suffer from depression, anxiety, bipolar, any moroseness. 15 million people suffer each year. They go through some episode in a year, 15 million people. Hands up if you've ever felt sad. I'm not afraid to say I've been depressed many times. I've been sad. Living in the material world, you have to be sad. You have to. That's how you become Krishna conscious, by seeing the sadness of the material world. Otherwise, you don't get it. If you're enjoying and you're doing well, you missed the plot. You missed it. But if you're suffering mentally, physically, or you see suffering and it comes into your heart, then it's easy to turn to Krishna. Very easy. So, living in the material world, the symptom is you go through suffering. Yeah, you really go through it. Struggle. That's another word that I asked you to note. Struggle. We all go through struggling, yes? I think it was easier living in the 80s and 70s in this country, but now, maybe if you're my age, you know what I'm talking about. But now, I feel sorry for young people. Especially coming into Krishna consciousness. I feel so sorry for the young people. It's harder for you to practice than in my time. Because in my time, we didn't have internet. Didn't have mobile phones. Your time, I spoke to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, the original Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, 1967 from San Francisco. He told me that it is harder to practice now than it was in the 60s and 70s. Because it's more distraction in the world. It's so much harder. I feel so sorry for you. Not you. You. Don't worry, there's hope. But it's so much harder. So I respect any youth, young people like you coming in, listening when you could be on WhatsApp. You know what I mean? It's a lot harder to practice, but you have to fight for it. You have to fight for your Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's another birth again. Guaranteed. You come back again. Male or woman, doesn't matter. You will come back again if you don't fight for it. You have to fight for your Krishna consciousness. And Maya is stronger than ever. So much stronger. And we struggle. cost of crisis, eating, clothing. People are nicking coats. I've never heard of that. Have you heard that in the story, in the news? Give me your trainers now. Give me your coat. I thought mobile phones, I can understand that. But jackets now, especially Canadian jackets, because they ride really nice and warm. But that's how bad it is if you go into London. It's dangerous out there. It's like a jungle. And people just come out there and just take the knife and give me your stuff. But people are struggling. That's why they're doing it. You know, crime is increasing more and more. And it will increase. Don't think it's going to get rosy and better. It won't. It won't. The world is going to go through a dangerous phase. Therefore, the more Krishna conscious you are, the better it is for you. Yes, it's better for you. Yeah, before it gets worse. And it has to get worse. The amount of negative activities that are going on in the world, you can't expect it to get better. You can't expect AI to make the world a better place. It's just going to create more unemployment and cause more distress. And people will be turning to more crime or more escapism, as I call it. And escapism means you take alternative actions to drown your sorrows. That's why people drink. That's why people take drugs. That's why people do all sorts of things to take away their reality of life, to escape. Yeah, but we give an alternative to that. So the world will change, and it has to change, and I want it to change, and I hope you all want it to change. Because when it does change, people will become more Krishna conscious. It will. If the internet is destroyed, which I hope it does, waving at the internet people, but I hope it does one day, because that is the biggest problem we have in the world. I think it is. It may give some nice things, but the biggest problem you can see since the internet was created and social media is that. That's what's causing a lot of the problems in the material world. A lot. Creates a lot of problems. Squeezing. Squeezing was the other word that was in the purport. So, you know, there was a minister of Akbar. Akbar was a Mughal ruler in India during the time of Jiva Goswami. And he was favorable to Hinduism as well as Islam, or naturally. And he had a Hindu minister called Birbal. He also had a Hindu senapati, like a chief. I forgot the name. Someone may remind me. Mansingh. Maharaj Mansingh was his like general, who was a king, but became his general when he was defeated. So Birbal, so he's talking to Birbal, who's a very wise person, and he's saying to Birbal that this lust that we have, it must go away when we're old. The lust, you know? Lust doesn't just mean sex, it means enjoying separately from Krishna, right? It must go away when we're old, Birbal, because no, sire, it will not go away. Even when you are old, it doesn't go away. You're telling me that we're going to still have this when we're old? That we're still hankering to enjoy? Yes, Maharaj. And then, because I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So then the conversation was over. So then when one of the ministers, Akbar's ministers, was passing away, I got this from a YouTube, you know, so I don't know if it's really true exactly the story, but it looked nice. So one of the ministers was passing away. He was old. He was getting, you know, sick, and he was passing away. Birbal said to Akbar, let's go and see the minister. He's passing away. But bring your daughter, the princess. Because why do I need to bring the daughter? It's just nice to, you know, he sees you and your daughter, and he feels, oh, comforted that the whole family have come to see him. He's done so much service for you. Just bring your daughter. He goes, okay, then. So he brings his daughter, who's a beautiful goddess, right? Princess. Generally are. So he brings her to the minister, who's in the deathbed, lying there looking, you know, he's going to die. And Akbar is trying to talk to the minister, but the minister doesn't want to hear him or look at him. All he's doing is gazing at the beautiful girl. That's all he's doing. He's basically ignored Akbar And he's just gazing at the beautiful princess, looking at her, eyeing her up, basically. And then Akbar leaves, princess goes. And then Akbar says to Birbal, I understand what you mean. I understand now that it doesn't go away. Even at the moment of death, you can still be considering lust. So that's the mood in the material world. You are squeezing, we are squeezing as much pleasure as we can. We always want to squeeze the last drop in the material world, even though this pleasure is temporary and it's not fulfilling. And never successful was another word that I wanted you to highlight. We have seen massive, big leaders, whether they're good or bad, that's for history and God to decide. Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Hitler, Duryodhan, all right, I have to mention him, who always feel that they're going to be successful and they act in a way that they're going to live forever. With Alexander the Great, he goes off and conquers all these beautiful countries, Persia, and then he goes off and he goes to northern India. But he dies at the age of 32 or 33. He dies. So, you know, he couldn't conquer and lastingly conquer. He was a great general, great fighter, and he had his army would die for him. But he could not be successful because they didn't know the secret of success. The secret of success is not to create a position in this world. It's to create your position in the spiritual world. That is the secret of success because this material world is very temporary. It's not permanent. So only a fool will think it's permanent and carry on as if they were living forever. Only a fool would do that. An intelligent person will know that there is a next life and continue on the journey. But you've already heard me say this or other people say it time and time again. So I've got to say something else now. So I'm just going to read. This is a beautiful book. If you ever get a book like this, this contains all the verses that Srila Prabhupada would chant. And when you look at it, you go, my goodness, how intelligent, how scholarly Srila Prabhupada, I will never say was, is, because he's still around. So amazing. So I'm just reading some of the verses that highlight something that was in the purport. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Aitaiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakale Ashanta. I love this verse. Because you know, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that you can get confused by so many different scriptures of the world and even in Vedic scriptures. And there's so many different paths and explanations and goals that you can aspire for. But this verse is beautiful. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructing Rupa Goswami, because he is desireless, meaning he doesn't have a desire for him or herself. Desireless means you only desire what Krishna wants. He is peaceful. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about happiness, but you can't get happy unless you're peaceful in the mind and body and surroundings and environment. Do you know what that means? Yeah? You want to get happy. We want to be happy. But you can't be happy if people are suffering next to you, or people are attacking you, or you're upset with something. You know, you're not peaceful. So because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment. You see that. Jnanis desire liberation. You see that. And yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Bas. A statement like that clarifies everything. If you're following a scripture that encourages you to have material desires or more material desires or opulence or you know, then it's bogus. If you're desiring to have liberation, meaning merge into Brahman, that's the way I interpret it, then it's bogus. If you're desiring to be a yogi for material opulence to show everyone how much you can bend backwards, and do some siddhis, bogus. So it clarifies, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies what is the real desire. The real desire is to please Krishna. And then some people in this audience may not agree, or on the internet, but I don't give a damn. I will say as it is, the way Prabhupada said it. Brahmanda Brahmete Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Beach. This is another thing that has clarified any misconceptions that you find in Shastra. According to their karma, living entities go from upper to lower planetary systems, wandering in this material universe, until they get the mercy of Krishna. And when they get the mercy of Krishna, Krishna directs them to Guru. And by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, they get Krishna. Simple. So simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that we're wandering, we're suffering in this material universe. Samsara, birth after birth, upper, lower, middle, animal, human, anything, reptile, we're suffering. But until we get that mercy of Krishna, Krishna directs us to Guru. That's what he did with Dhruva Maharaj. Krishna could see the desire of Dhruva Maharaj that he wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather. So he directed Dhruva Maharaj to Guru, Narada Muni. That's what happens. Krishna won't teach us first. He can in the heart. He sends us to the pure devotee, Prabhupada. He sends us to the lineage, the Guru Parampara. And then we connect with Prabhupada through his followers. And then we know who Krishna is. That's how we're knowing. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. So that seed of pure Bhakti Lata Beach, that seed of pure connection to Krishna has to be given. Yeah? It's given. We're a mercy movement. We give it. You can't get it without receiving it from a pure devotee. And if he waters that seed gradually by the process of Shravan and Kirtan, that means hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. You know, we have problems, right? We have problems practicing Krishna consciousness, right? I have it all the time. I don't know if I'm going through a period where I forget instructions, but it happens. We know it. It's in our heart. We've been told 100 or 1,000 times, but in the moment we forget it. Have you noticed that? We forget it. We get illusion because that's the way material world works. Maya makes you forget. But the only way that we can overcome anarthas or unwanted material desires is to increase our hearing and chanting. That's the only way. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. You have a garden and you need to water the seed, and the watering process is hearing and chanting. As one waters the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed that has been given by the pure devotee, right? The seed sprouts and the creeper, which is like, you know, plant, gradually increases to the point where it penetrates the walls of the universe and goes beyond the Viraja River between the spiritual world and the material world. This seed is coming from Goloka Vrindavan, which is very difficult to obtain. In previous ages, you wouldn't get it. Even if we go through another Kali Yuga, the next Kali Yuga, after the cycles, you won't get the seed to Goloka Vrindavan. You get a Vasudev Chaitanya, and all he can do is give you Vaikuntha. Only this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's none other than Krishna himself, can give Goloka Vrindavan. That's why he's explaining what he's giving. It attains Brahmaloka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through that stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet of Goloka Vrindavan. Being situated in one's heart and being wanted, watered by Shravan Kirtan, the Bhakti Kripa grows more and more. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky. The creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, that's what we are doing, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with water of hearing and chanting. That is the essence. Prabhupada once said to Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who's one of my spiritual masters, he said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you will miss it. I will repeat that again. Krishna consciousness is so simple, you will miss it. It is. It is so simple. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple. Simple for the simple, but if you're crooked, you won't get it. You think that there's something better and higher or something more needs to be done. No, it's not. It's so simple, isn't it? Simple, isn't it? It's simple. Say something. All right, yeah, it's simple. It's not easy, especially if you have your material desires and you've got your life to lead, but it is simple. It is simple. It's just bare minimum, chant and hear. That will keep you going. Yeah. Now, this is the thing that makes it not simple. And I'm going to end this part here, and then I'll speak about Shruti Brahma. If the devotee commits Yadi Vaishnava Pradi Uti Hati Mata Upade Vav Chinde Tara Shuki Yaya Pata. If a devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant and uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. So the only way we're going to mess up with something so simple is if we don't know how to behave with each other. That's called Vaishnava Prad. Basically, if you don't know the culture of Krishna consciousness, because 90% of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, is culture. Culture means how to behave with your juniors, peers, and seniors. Therefore, Vaishnava etiquette courses are extremely important, because if you know the etiquette, you know how to treat people, and you commit less offenses. But when you commit offenses to the holy name, you know, the 10 offenses, to the Vaishnavas, to the Dham, to Prasadam, to the deities. Like, I come here, and after a class, I see people chit-chatting in front of the deities. You're not supposed to do that. You're not allowed to talk in front of the deities, because they're the main personalities in the room. So the focus should be on them, not like, oh, let's have a conversation. What did you do last week? You see it when you're on Mayapur TV and you're watching a class. Class finishes and you can see people just talking amongst themselves. It's my duty to highlight it. But the etiquette is Krishna comes first. And then if you want to talk, go in the corner or go outside. Even if your spiritual master enters this room, you can't bow down to him. Do you know that? Because you shouldn't bow down to anyone else except Krishna. Am I correct in that? Or sannyasi, go on. Correct. In the scripture. I know we bow down to Prabhupada, but that's different. Prabhupada allowed that. He allowed Guru Puja, which is unheard of, in front of Krishna, but Prabhupada is special. He's intimately connected. But generally, we don't in front of the deities. Okay. So, please, I am speaking to myself as the well I'm speaking to. Don't think I'm just trying to tell you something that I'm perfect at. I've made tons of mistakes, but I'm still here. I don't know how I'm still here after so many decades. I don't know how. You're still here. Everyone's still here. But I see people who have left, and they may be hearing me right now, come back. But you know, we're only still here because we got the mercy of pure devotees, and especially Srila Prabhupada. We're only still here. That yes, I've committed offenses, and then I get smashed. Krishna smashes me, Guru smashes me, everyone else smashes me. And then I learn from that mistake, and then I ask for forgiveness and I continue on. It's like a baby. I'm like a baby. You know, I stumble, but I still get up because I'm going to walk and eventually run. So that's how we should feel. If we find that we're finding it difficult, we're struggling, we can't really get our rounds done, reading done, we've got too much on our mind, anxiety, just don't give up Prabhupada. Just don't give Prabhupada up. You may have faith, may not have faith in devotees, gurus, whatever, but have faith in Prabhupada. He's the founder of Acharya, and he'll be here for the next 10,000 years. When we're all dead and buried or burnt, Prabhupada will still be here guiding this movement and be sending devotees to guide this movement. So have faith in the founder Acharya, please. He's given everything through his books and teachings. So always do that. So there is a very special devotee. His name is Shruti Dharma Prabhu. He was born in 1958. He came from Africa, but he moved to Wembley. Wembley has a lot of devotees, you know. Pranabandhu Prabhu, Atmanivenda Swami, Jankinath Prabhu and Keshav Maharaj and a few others. Wembley, apart from the stadium, produces a lot of advanced devotees. So he met Srila Prabhupada. In fact, I think he could have been a disciple of Prabhupada, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But he did meet Prabhupada, and he tells us a story that he was at Berry Place, because it used to be opposite the British Museum. Okay. All right. So he went, he was at Berry Place, and Prabhupada in 1977 said, "I want to see that boy in London." He meant Radha Landeshwara. Okay. Not Shruti. So Prabhupada goes to Berry Place, and it's packed full of devotees. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami is with Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Goswami is telling Shruti Prabhu, who's at the front with Prabhupada. He's like a teenager, he's 19. "Take off the socks. Prabhupada's socks. Take his socks off." So Shruti Prabhu takes the socks of his divine grace, puts it in his pocket. And then he gives it back at the end. And that's one of his biggest regrets, giving back the socks. But he had that intimate service to take the socks of Srila Prabhupada. And I knew him, but I didn't know, I wasn't very close to him, but I did know him. So in 1995, I wanted to go to Inishraf. Anyone been to Inishraf? Ireland? It's an island in Ireland, if you know what that means. In Enniskillen or Northern Ireland. And at that time, the internet wasn't really prevalent. And the mobile phones was the Nokia ones, black ones anyway. I don't even know if I had one. But it was a Pandava Sena event. So everyone was there. Tribhuvanath Prabhu was there. And I wanted to go. But someone said, "Speak to Shruti Dharma." I didn't know who he was. So I'm in East London calling up the manor. "Can I speak to a Shruti Dharma, please?" In my Cockney accent. And in those days, it doesn't happen now. There used to be intercom in the manor. Do you remember? So every room of Bhaktivedanta Manor had an intercom. So you're in reception, a phone call comes, you can intercom someone in the kitchen, for example, and then you can talk to that person. It was like a walkie-talkie. So they would intercom Shruti Prabhu, who would be in the patron's office upstairs, and I would call him, and he would explain to me how to get to Inishraf from London. And you know, you have to take a flight, and then a flight to Dublin. Then at Dublin, you have to get a coach, which is 3 hours. Then you get to Enniskillen area, and then you got all these army people pointing guns at you in 95 because of the IRA. So the British soldiers were just on the streets with guns, and that's the first time I ever saw a gun pointing at me. And then from there, the devotees will pick you up and take you to another area. Then you cross a boat and go into the island. So I practically called him 10 times because I was confused with the instructions, and I didn't understand how to do it. And I was like scared, and I needed reassurance. And he was so kind to me. Even in the 10th phone call, he would be normal. He wouldn't be saying, "You're wasting my time. Get out of here, you know. What's wrong with you? Are you thick or something?" He didn't say anything. He just was patient with me because he knew I was new. He knew that I was a clueless idiot and I didn't know how to do something. But that's Shruti Prabhu. He had patience. He was a great orator. Great speaker. If you ever saw him give a class or just speak, full of confidence, full of knowledge, sastrically intelligent. He knew the sastras backwards. He was very friendly with all the Prabhupada disciples, especially the senior ones, because he practically was a Prabhupada disciple. In my eyes, I saw him as a Prabhupada disciple. I know he was a disciple of Shivaram Maharaj, but anyone who was there during Prabhupada's time and saw Prabhupada and gave their heart to Prabhupada, you're like a Prabhupada disciple, to me anyway. He was a great actor. Now, I've played the Godfather, right? At Bhaktivedanta Manor, a few times. I played the mafioso role, right? But no one's better than Shruti Prabhu. He is the real godfather, right? When you see him with Dwarka Puri as his henchman, go into that theater room and they're dressed in Al Capone outfits, you know, he can pull it off perfectly. He was very mystical. He could read your mind. The scariest thing is when you're in front of Shruti Prabhu and then he nods and he looks at you. And he nods and looks at you like he knows what you're thinking. Once he read my palm, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he could read palms. He was mystical. He could read your mind. Therefore, he knew what to say to you at the right time. Prabhupada was extremely mystical. He could do that. What can I say? If you want an example of somebody who gives their life to Bhaktivedanta Manor, day in, day out, and puts more effort in giving to Krishna than to his own family, that is Shruti Dharma Prabhu in a nutshell. That's what I saw every day. He would come in whenever I was here, come for the Mangalati or Japa period. He would do the worship once a week. He would talk to the devotees. He would come to the Gurukul when we needed encouragement. He would introduce senior devotees to us. I remember he would introduce... My Guru Maharaj said if there was a Shruti Dharma in every ISKCON, it would be a wonderful place. It would be amazing. Because that person, he could have been a guru, Diksha guru, he could have been a sannyasi, he could have been a GBC, he was offered all of these things. But he decided, no, I will sacrifice my life to Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And he did it for at least 40 odd years. And he was the temporal president for 10 years. He didn't want to do it, but he had to step in and do that service. So today is his Disciplines Day. There's going to be a big kirtan, I don't know if it's here or Daveli, in memory for him, and we pray for his guidance. He's back in the spiritual world, or back with Prabhupada, either preaching in the material world or in the spiritual world. And when we have great Vaishnavas who have come, set an example, and gone, we must pray for them. The last time I saw him, he was in his house, and we just spoke to him, but he was a different Shruti Prabhu. He opened up to me, and it was like childlike innocence. You know, a pure devotee, the symptom of a pure devotee, childlike innocence. I'm not saying they're children, but just that innocence. When you see a child who's not contaminated by lust. So you saw Shruti Prabhu, he was just like himself, just pure, ready to go back, no worries, no issues, just peaceful, happy. And then I got to massage him, and that was the last time I saw him. But, you know, his picture's there if you don't know what he looks like. He's on that altar there in that book. And believe me, when you pray to devotees, you get the blessings. I'm going to end here. It's exactly 9 o'clock. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I don't have time for questions now. I'll take one. Anyone? Any question? One question, at least, just to honor Srinivas Prabhu's instruction. He's gone now. One question.
Hare Krishna. So you mentioned how we don't have to bow down before anybody because the Supreme Lord is there. But then on one other hand, you know, we hear how important the devotee is, you know, that the devotee is even higher than the Supreme Lord. So then one kind of feels that surrender to bow down to. So then...
What does that mean, higher than the Supreme Lord?
Meaning, like, Krishna was emphasized that my devotees are very dear to me and that the worship of my devotees is higher than me.
It means that it's more pleasing to Krishna that you put worship or honor. Hridayananda Maharaj uses the word honor. Puja means honor rather than worship. Honor. We give honor and we give respect and we care, we serve the pure Vaishnava, all Vaishnavas, doesn't mean you have to be pure. But there's an etiquette in temple seva. In temple seva, Krishna is worshipped in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. And in that mood, it's all in reverence. He's the boss. And when you're in his home, he comes first. But that doesn't mean we don't disrespect. But my point was that, like now, Bhagavatam class, you may bow down after the Bhagavatam class. Guru Puja, you may bow down. But when you're gossiping, that is really disrespectful in front of the Supreme Lord. So there's certain Vaishnava etiquette, and we just observe that if a sannyasi walks in, we don't bow down to him in front of Krishna. I would go in a corner and bow down, because I'm not in front of Krishna. Or if my guru, sometimes my Guru Maharaj would walk in, I wouldn't bow down in front of, if the curtains are open, I would just go in a corner and bow down, because I just don't want to breach that etiquette. That's what I mean. But devotees higher, I mean, I don't see it like that. I see it like they're more loved. Krishna loves them to be worshipped. I don't know if that answers the question. Next. So Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam Sarvesham. You know, yesterday that beautiful class about Lord Shiva. Aradhanam Nam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Padam Tasmad Paratanam Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiyanam is what's associated with the Lord, is worshipped, honored. It means it's more dear to the Lord. He really relishes that. He prefers that. Oh.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. You were mentioning earlier about in this yuga is the only yuga where we can get to Goloka Vrindavan because it's Krishna himself. But you mentioned that in the next Kali Yuga there will be Vasudev Chaitanya. Just wanted to know what the reference is
or if you could
elaborate on it more.
Because when Krishna Swayam himself comes 5,000 years ago, Lord Chaitanya, the original Lord Chaitanya from Goloka will come. I don't know where the reference is, but Govinda Prabhu will know. So whenever Krishna, Bhagavan himself, Rajananda Krishna comes, he will always come again as the original Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day of Brahma. That's the mercy, and it comes in one day of Brahma, you know. After that, the spirit souls will never get the opportunity to go Goloka unless you go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nobody else, actually. It says in the scriptures, if you don't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will not go to Goloka. Doesn't matter if you're in another sampradaya, if you do not recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will not go back to God. In fact, you're an offender. His channa avatar means hidden avatar. Only the devotees can reveal who he is. But if you do not go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will not go back to Goloka Vrindavan. I don't care which marg you're from, you do not go back to Goloka Vrindavan unless you go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original Mahaprabhu. Alright, next. I'm different on the Vyasasan, I'm sorry.
How often would he appear? So is it the same as, how often would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear as well? Same as Krishna?
Yeah.
Okay, so one day of Brahma.
One day of Brahma, he will appear. That is the mercy. That's why we're so fortunate. And you'll be the most unfortunate if you don't take the mercy in this lifetime. You have to come back another lifetime. And that's a waste of a lifetime. You can do it in one lifetime. Prabhupada has given the formula for one lifetime. Yamuna Devi Dasi, Prabhupada's disciple, asked Prabhupada, can we really go back to Godhead if we do our 16 rounds and follow the four ways? Can we really go back? And Prabhupada says, how can you doubt me? How can you doubt me? I'm telling you, you can go back. How can you doubt? That's why he is more merciful than Lord Nityananda. Do you understand? The mercy becomes even more. When you see the spiritual master, they give even more mercy. They delivered Jagai Madai, but there's millions of Jagai Madais in the material world. Who went out and delivered them or gave them mercies and continuing to give mercy? It's Prabhupada and his followers. And I don't want to disrespect others who follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are also doing it. But Prabhupada is that Senapati chosen by the Lord to go out and do it. And we are very fortunate to be under him. Any more? I actually like questions and answers. It's quite... I don't know. Go on. Yeah, I think it's... Prabhuji.
One quote from Radhanath Swami. He I don't know where the recording came from, but he said, what is the most important thing? We should ask ourselves this, what is the most important thing? And actually, the most important thing is what you're doing now. It's because everybody is Krishna's part and parcel. And you know, half the time we're going off elsewhere. We're in a rush to do this and that. But that opportunity to serve that person by way of hearing, that's the most important thing. And attend to that person you're with.
You make an amazing point, and it's part of mindfulness, where you have to be here now, think now. So whatever you've done in the past, good or bad, is gone. You can't go back to it. And whatever regrets you have, it's over. You cannot go back. But you can be haunted by the past. And we get mentally upset by the past. But we have to let go because the past is gone. It cannot be retrieved. And the future is just a dream. You know, whenever I try and plan something, it never goes to plan. Never goes to plan. So I've stopped planning. Long-term planning anyway. Because it's a dream. You could die tomorrow. Then it's over. So what's real, it's now. Right now. Doesn't matter what you did in the past, good or bad. Doesn't matter what you're going to do in the future. It's right now. Are you Krishna conscious at every moment? Are you thinking of Krishna? Now that's a very hard thing to do. But in the purport, Prabhupada is talking about that you get to a point where you see Krishna everywhere. You see the pastimes. Everything reminds you of the Lord. And that's what we want to get. We want to get to the stage that we're living in the material world and everything relates us to Krishna, that we're thinking of Krishna always. Any others? Okay.
The violence still grows in the future. And I would like to know what is the reason for this violence growth of this violence. And we are doing a lot of good work in propagating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of save humility and peace. But how long it would take that one? Because you also hinted that violence still further grows. So would there be no end for this violence?
So in Kali Yuga, the symptom of Kali Yuga is quarrel, hypocrisy. And the last leg of Dharma, which is truthfulness, is breaking. You can see fake news everywhere. And we don't know what's real or not when you look at the internet or Twitter or X. You don't know what is real, what is not real. Are you telling the truth or you're lying? So this is the symptom of Kali Yuga. But for the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's like having an umbrella when it's raining. We will be protected. Kali Yuga will still rain, still have problems, but the devotees will be protected under that rain. That's what it means, the golden age for the next 10,000 years, predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right now we're at the beginning of the golden age, so Kali Yuga is extremely strong. There will be a point where rulers will be Krishna conscious. There will be a point where dharma will be around predominantly and people will be chanting the holy name of Krishna all over the world. every town and village, it will happen. We may not see it in this lifetime, but it's predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so it will happen. And it will get to a peak, and then it will go down, and then after 10,000 years, the real Kali Yuga will come. So I don't really worry about what's going to happen. Krishna will send, like Prabhupada has come, many other acharyas will come to push on the movement. And yes, we are at the fledgling 50-year period, or 55-year period, and it's tough, and we don't see so much Krishna consciousness. But if you go to India today, millions of youth are practicing Krishna consciousness. Right now, when I go to India, millions of people are becoming Krishna conscious devotees. And it wasn't like that until Prabhupada went back to India in 71 to revive Krishna consciousness. So just watch. It's going to happen. Souls will be put into different births, different bodies, different Western body, Japanese body, Chinese bodies, different races, and you will see devotees coming. It will happen. I have no doubt. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.